A year ago, for February 22nd, 1940, some of the alumni conceived the idea of making each year a permanent recording of campus voices so that groups, as they celebrate Founders Day, may have a little more of the personal touch than has been possible heretofore except over radio. It is thought also that in this way the voices may be embalmed, so to speak, for generations of Agnes Scotters yet to come. The first suggestion of petrifying our voices came as a shock to some of us old-timers, but we have become quite reconciled to the fact that if the rest of you can stand it, it would be agreeable. This year, we are happy to give to our Agnes Scott girls two of their dearest friends, among our oldest in point of service. There are few of you who have not in the past sat in the English classes of Miss Louise McKinney, or to whom Dr. Mary F. Sweet, as college physician, has not ministered in time of need. Although Miss McKinney and Dr. Sweet have retired from active professional service at the college, they are living in the same little home on Candler Street at the edge of the campus, and they show a lively interest in the many activities of the college. We have persuaded them to talk to you in their own characteristic way, and we are sure that you will be glad to hear them. We are making these voice recordings this year in our own studios with a machine which we purchased last fall to assist in the speech and voice departments. Both sides of the record are being used this time, one of which bears the message of Dr. Sweet and Miss McKinney, while the other is, as you see, for their introduction, which I, as the president of the college, have been given the pleasure of making. I find that there are about 2 inches left on this side allotted to me, and I am too scotched to waste that space. I will utilize it by telling you the latest report on our University Center developments. Remembering that this record is for permanent filing and preservation, I think we ought to review the program with which we are all so busy. You will recall that 6 institutions are working together on the Cooperative University Center idea. These are Agnes Scott, which has taken a very active part, Emory University, University of Georgia, Georgia School of Technology, Columbia Theological Seminary, and the Atlanta Art Association. Agnes Scott and Emory have worked together for a number of years, and in recognition of what they have accomplished, the General Education Board of New York offered the 2 institutions $2,500,000 if we would jointly raise $5 million additional, the board specifying the purposes for which the total amount would be used. We have secured contributions or pledges totaling more than $7,500,000, but much of it has been earmarked for hospitalization or other undertakings which we cannot include in our agreed program, so that we still have $974,000 to raise in order to meet the requirements for the big gift of the Rockefeller people. We must get that money, and it will take our very best efforts to succeed. There is a special phase of the whole program for which we hope the alumni may feel a very deep concern. This is our effort to raise among them $100,000 for the erection or endowment of Hopkins Hall, a beautiful new dormitory in honor and in memory of Miss Nanette Hopkins, for 49 years our beloved dean. For this particular objective, we have on hand in cash or pledges $65,000. And we need the balance subscribed as soon as possible. If this relatively small sum can be obtained, it will help us greatly in getting the remainder of the whole University Center requirement. We earnestly bespeak your interest and prayers and aid in this most important project.
Well, Dr. Sweet, how did you think you were going to feel when you had really retired?
I knew that I might miss the regular work, Miss McKinney, but I looked forward to having time to settle some arguments that we had had on hand for several years. I even contemplated establishing a home for the aged.
Well, you have established a home for the aged, and I, as one of the inmates, am having time to make quilts for my increasing number of great-nieces and nephews. As for me, I looked forward to having plenty of time for doing the things I had always wanted to do, and I was glad that my life would no longer be regulated by bells.
Bells, why, they meant more in my life than in yours. Telephone and doorbells at night, to say nothing of day calls. Seriously, one expected compensation was that I could go to bed early with no fear of urgent calls. However, looking back over nearly 4 years of retirement, I realize what the active work of the college meant to me. Memories of personal relations with students and faculty are vivid, and I realize with gratitude that they have almost always been pleasant.
If you look back and feel all this, what must I feel when I go back to those happy earlier days, when we were like a large family? Indeed, the faculty sometimes nursed the sick. I myself attended a case of mumps. We had even then an honor system that worked, and how the girls did resent it if a teacher patrolled the halls after lights when quiet was expected. I remember they punished a teacher once by a concerted burst of snores that lasted several minutes. The next night, everybody had a racking cough. The patrol ended. Among other happy memories are those of the visits of the girls, singly or in groups. And when a Florida girl got a box of oranges, her faculty friends were invited to don Mother Hubbard's. Yes, we wore them. Bring a knife and come along with the girls to the feast. I never had seen so many oranges in all my life before. Incidentally, Colonel Scott used to send boxes of oranges, especially Christmas. These were the days of Mary Barnett, Mary Mack, Mary Neal, Bessie Scott, Annie Newton, Kate Logan, Ara Hopkins, Emily Diver, and many other nice, friendly girls.
Of course, my memory can't go back as far as yours, Miss McKinney, but I have certainly found Agnes Scott a friendly place, and an ideal one in which to work. I have always appreciated with deep gratitude the trust and support given me by Dr. Gaines, Dr. McCain, and Miss Hopkins. And my affection for and interest in the students were nearly always met by cooperation and understanding.
All that you have experienced in cooperation and responsiveness, both from the authorities and the students, I felt too, Dr. Sweet. But it's a very pleasant fact to me that though we no longer have any professional touch with the college, our delightful social relations continue. I think our friends in the faculty are really often nice about keeping us in touch with their activities. And the students are just as thoughtful. In fact, I believe I know more of the younger students now than I did in the last years of my teaching. Don't you look forward to seeing these daughters and sisters of our alumni who often run in for a few minutes, like May McEwen's Jane, Laura Candler's Mary Scott and Annie, Dr. Arbuckle's niece Mary Stewart, Ellen and Joe Walker's sister Grace. It's lovely to renew our youth through our connection with the past.
But, you know, I think the feature of the present that we probably enjoy most is the weekly concerts in our beautiful new Presser Hall, when we not only see lots of old girls but hear delightful music. Couldn't we sum it all up in this way? We are happy in our recollections of the past, contented in the present, proud of having had even a small part in the growth of the college, and eager to see the Agnes Scott of the future.